But I want to start out by going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord, and gathered in your presence. And we know that you have gathered us here for a reason, Lord God. And we know that we just need your blessings at all times. And I pray that you anoint this this podium, Lord God, and anoint me to speak and anoint those to listen, Lord, that your message may reach that it, those that it needs to reach. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought out about three sermons before I finally settled on one, and none of them hit right with my spirit until I got to this one. But tonight, I come with you with a very simple title, and that's Choosing Freedom. The definition of freedom in the dictionary is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. I don't know about y'all, but I like being free. I can't even imagine a world of bondage based on how we've been set up to live the way we are right now. See, if I wanted to run across this stage right now, I could. If I wanted to sing the rest of my sermon, that would be an option. If I wanted to walk out of the church and not say another word, that's possible. But you may be thinking, well, wouldn't he get into trouble? Well, without good reason, yeah, of course I would. I mean, we're free, but that doesn't mean there's zero consequences for our actions. In fact, freedom without consequences is a bad thing, and one could define that as anarchy, which is disorder without authority. See, America is a nation rooted in the concepts of freedom, and whether that's respected to the full extent is up for debate, but regardless of that, we're still a free nation, and we still have laws and authorities to help us and protect us, and we have leaders who are supposed to guide us and encourage us. Spiritual freedom, it follows many of the same concepts, but provides more true freedom. We're going to get to our main text of scripture for now for tonight, which is Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and have been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this is a very powerful analogy drawn. And even Paul wanted to make sure at this point that he was very clear that he was speaking in terms that we could understand, because he wanted us to understand that it's such a powerful form of obedience that the only term in human terminology he could draw it to is slavery. But it's a commitment of servitude that we're supposed to have towards Christ in order to obtain freedom. See, freedom comes at a cost in both the real world and the spiritual world. There are wars fought all the time and sacrifices made to attain freedom for everyday life. But Christ died for us to receive spiritual freedom so that we could have it as a gift. And if we choose to follow him and accept salvation, we receive the fruits that come from pursuing righteousness. Chasing righteousness results in spiritual growth and blessings in line with holiness and the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So there is one extreme difference, though. Bondage in the real world is very appealing at points. In the real world is not appealing. But when it comes to the spiritual world, bondage can look very appealing, despite what you may think. See, if we do not have our spiritual eyes open, we can fall right into being a slave to the world without even noticing. Some people spend their entire lives that way. So one example I want to look at is social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. They're all very interesting platforms that connect us with friends and family when we can't be next to them. The ability to instantly message anyone on the platform and interact with those in our community, it's a powerful tool with many advantages. The unfortunate truth is while it is a great tool, it is very easy to become addicted to these platforms in a way that goes beyond habits. These platforms have purposely or unpurposely structured their system to where we receive a dopamine release every time we see a notification. This is a feel-good neurotransmitter, and that leads to users becoming more and more addicted to the platforms. This in itself, using the platforms is not sinful, but it's easy to let such a tool take away your time from God and your productivity in his kingdom when you're not using it for him. This doesn't only apply to New Age ideals, though, and technology, but the same concept can be very easily attributed to anything that we spend an unhealthy amount of time doing. A life not built around Christ and salvation is one of bondage. The bondage that we have in America is the bondage of idols. We, in America, we love to idolize everything. We idolize sports, celebrities, music, technology, even food, or especially food. It may not be common to make a golden calf anymore, but false gods still exist as these idols in our society. What we invest our time into is what matters the most to us in our hearts, and it's what's first on our minds. It may feel good to spend a lot of time watching TV, playing video games, listening to music, spending time with friends, but if it's taking away from your time with God, then it's pushing you into spiritual bondage. We can only experience the freedom that comes from serving God and receive the gifts he has for us when we focus on him and dedicate time to him. This doesn't mean you have to spend every second of every day reading your Bible, but it does mean you need to take some time each day to communicate with God and talk with others about God. And he mentions this in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 23 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Although this is just one example of something that can lead you into spiritual bondage, any sin that dictates your life on a regular basis to the point where you do not turn to God for help and forgiveness is holding you captive from the freedom that God wants you to have. He offers us freedom from the law through his fulfillment of the law. See, you wouldn't go to school for a degree you already have, would you? I mean, it wouldn't make much sense to go if you have to get 120 credit hours for a bachelor's degree, but someone gives it to you and you have all the perfect rights to it. There's no exceptions. You have everything you need for it. You wouldn't still go to those classes when you already attained it. So while we have to try to live the best we can, we do not have to meet the law to reach God's standards and grace because he knew that would be unattainable for us in our human nature. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love to serve one another." You can see that we've been given freedom through Jesus dying on the cross, as our mistakes do not doom us to hell, and we can learn from our mistakes due to forgiveness. But this is not an excuse for us to abuse our freedom, because spiritual freedom remains for us as long as we stay on the Christian path and do not wander too far towards bondage and fall into the habitual traps of human nature. If we go to 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." See, I think that's something we hear a lot of in this day and age. People say, "I can do what I want," or "You can't tell me what to do." And it's definitely true. I can't make you do anything. But this verse goes on to speak from the perspective of not giving in to unlawful or sinful things that wants to do. It comes into our willpower. Because while we have the spiritual freedom, we also have free will. Two very different things. God put us on this earth and he didn't want us to, you know, be forced to do anything. He wanted us to choose to love him and serve him. Because if you're not choosing to love someone, it's not love. So he gave us free will so that we may live under him and just commune with him at all times, because that's what he most deeply desires. But he wants us to choose spiritual freedom. So let me give you an analogy a friend of mine gave me. So imagine you're on an island with a volcano. And you know it's going to explode erupt very, very soon. All right? And you know you're doomed and there's nothing you can do about it. But someone came and gave you a car. And you were able to get away from that volcano in time before it erupts. It would be kind of ridiculous not to take the car, wouldn't it? I mean, you would be not using your brain at all. So we can clearly see that's what Jesus is doing for us when he gives us salvation and spiritual freedom. So to stray away from God is a process you have to work towards once you find him, because the wages of sin is death. Once God draws you and you receive salvation, that gift is yours to keep. But a wage is something you have to earn. You work for your earnings, right? Your wages. So in order to go back away from God, you have to work towards, you know, living a life of sin and get so far away from him that you've hardened your heart towards him. It's not an instantaneous thing, because the wages of sin is death. We have to make an active choice to walk away from God once he's drawn us in with his spirit. We also mustn't be confused about and know that our freedom does not come from doing the right things. I know that sounds like a out there statement, but following the rules of the Bible is essential. But if we can follow the laws and have freedom, then what's the point of Christ's sacrifice? There is none. See, Galatians 2:21 says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness that comes through the law." Then if it's righteousness that comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Our inability to attain perfection and live sinless is why we need salvation. Even if one of us were able to live perfectly, we are still born into sin and have to learn right from wrong. Living in spiritual freedom is definitely something every person should accept, because without it, we would inevitably become more and more buckled down by the struggles of life. You know, if you don't have spiritual freedom, you're much more prone to deal with stuff such as depression, anxiety, extreme stress. Also, who wouldn't want to live a life separated from the condemnation of sin? All this does not mean that life will be perfect, as there are struggles. But Psalms 34:19 reads, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him of them all. So life isn't easy, but it can be a lot easier with God on your side. We're going to face just as many, if not more, challenges than as non-believers, because, you know, the devil does have plans out to trip us and destroy us. But even if he did not intervene, there is enough sin in our flesh that we would constantly trip ourselves up all the time. So that's why it's so necessary to have God there for your freedom, because he's the only one who can pick you back up after you've fallen. He's the only one that can guide you right back on that right path after you've just messed up and you think there's no hope for you. Romans 8:1-2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." Just imagine if we had lived in a time where if we hadn't met 600 plus laws, then we had failed. Because I know not a single one of us could do it. And God knew not a single one of us could do it. Because it's such high standards. But Jesus came, fulfilled that law, met every single one of the expectations, but still chose after that to take all of our sin that we've ever committed onto him and be outside of the presence of God. Can you imagine? You've lived your whole life in glory and splendor and all of that, and then you're outside of God's presence. That's got to be an unreal feeling, because at some point we know what it's like to be outside of God's presence. But Jesus had never experienced that before, because he was God. And although God looked away from him in that moment, and the ultimate darkness came, and he came down to hell, took the keys to death so that we could be free. So what's the ultimate purpose of spiritual freedom? So it helps us a lot on earth, and all of the amenities that come with spiritual freedom, they hold no comparison to its ultimate purpose. God wants us to build a relationship and fellowship with him here, but he let his son die so that we would accept this salvation and freedom to spend eternity with him. Death holds no power over those with spiritual freedom. And in a special way, this allows us even more freedom to go above and beyond for God in our regular everyday lives, because we don't have to be afraid of death, because this is just a temporary stopping point for us. And all of our actual living, you know, minus 80 years, give or take, is on the other end of it. See, this freedom, though, it's not to be held a secret. We're a light, and even the littlest of children know that you're not supposed to hide your light, because they sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." That's instilled in them at a very young age. So by living in spiritual freedom, we allow others to see a glimpse of Christ in us. And this, combined with outreach, changes lives in an unimaginable amount of people. We couldn't even comprehend how many people, when you're living for Christ, might see you on an everyday basis and say, "There's something different about them, and I want to find out what that is." I mean, even without interactions. And that's just incomprehensible, the power that God has to work through those ways. So we have this gift, so we have to share it with others so that they may experience it with us. And they get to meet our Heavenly Father as well. So I want to end tonight not by having an altar call, but I want to give y'all a challenge point to go out into the world and live with spiritual freedom and try to make a difference in the light of the world. Because that's what we're called to do through the Great Commission. We have to go out there and spread his word and his gospel. If we're out in here reading our Bibles and praying and communicating with God, sure, we're fulfilling his, you know, requirements and salvation to get into heaven, but we're not fulfilling his whole plan for us. We're not living our life to the fullest. Because I can tell you, there's nothing that draws up more excitement in me than talking to someone about Christ. When those conversations get flowing, they're just the highlight of my day, no matter what else happens for the rest of that day. So now I want to close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful day and allowing us to be here, as I've said, Lord God. And we just want you to help us to stay on the path of spiritual freedom, Lord God, because we know that there's no other good way to live, Lord. And we know that once we receive that salvation in our heart, we don't need to hide it, Lord. We need to go out and spread the good news, Lord, and just do what you would have us to do. So, Lord, help us to stay in tune with your will at all times and be ready to spread the gospel, Lord God, and just do what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
God. Just go, I want them to go to the back tonight, and as everyone leaves, I want you to just encourage them. They're very young in the Lord, but a lot of wisdom and a lot of maturity. Amen. And I know Brother Philip and Sister Edna are very proud, and God bless you. Our final Westmoreland service of 2020, and who knows, before 2021, the Lord may return. Amen. And wouldn't that be great? And every time I hear of "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," somebody comes to my mind. Does anybody think they know who that might be? Pastor Nate, but Sister, he got it from Sister Carolyn over here. She loves that song. So I want you tonight, as you're leaving, I'm going to be playing that song. I want you to just make that your prayer. Let this light shine in this dark world. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Sunday for the first Sunday of 2021. And Brother Cooper and Brother Bill, I need to see y'all too before you go, all right? "Oh, this little light of mine." Go ahead, you're dismissed. "I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Sister Carolyn.